If you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why in the world do I come to church? Why do I come to church? And sometimes coming to church has some heartaches and some headaches involved with coming to church. So why do we come to church? Isaiah chapter 6, I hope to answer that question this morning. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I've told this story before, but I think it's so apropos for what I'm going to say today. At the end of Woody Allen's film on human relationships entitled Annie Hall, Woody tells the old story about the man who thought he was a chicken. His wife went to the psychiatrist to get some help in dealing with her husband's behavioral problems. After she had explained her husband's behavior to the doctor, he said, well, that's just simply ridiculous. Why don't you tell him he's not a chicken? To which the woman immediately responded, because I need the eggs. Sometimes Christians are asked about the headache of maintaining a strong and enduring church relationship, and they're asked, why go to all the bother of attending church? Well, I want to start off by saying that God loves the church. Amen. He died for the church. Amen. And he made it possible that everyone could make heaven their home. But he works through the church. Now, he not only loved the church, he loves, and really the church is not the building. I want you to know the church is you and me and others just like us. And he loves us this morning. And so why do we come to church? I believe that there are some needs that can only be met here at the church. We need to worship. We all need to stand and worship and praise our God. He is King of kings and he is Lord of lords. And we need to bow before him and praise him and thank him for all of his goodness to us. But it also provides us with the opportunity of being able to serve him and to minister to others outside the four walls of the church. And brethren, we need cleansing ourselves from time to time. We need to come. We're not perfect. And we need to come to the altar sometime just for ourselves and pray, God, cleanse me. Take away my sins and my shortcomings, and God, give me strength to serve you. Well, King Uzziah had died, and young Isaiah's heart was simply broken. The king had been a friend to this young student, And the stability of the nation, he thought, depended on King Uzziah. The nation was in mourning. It seemed as if Isaiah's world had come to a crashing halt. Maybe you have had similar experiences. You've had folks to die that were so near and dear to you. And all of us have been there. We've all faced those issues. And sometimes we wonder, how can we go on when our world seems to have fallen out from under our feet? Maybe it is that you're concerned about your nation this morning. I don't mind to tell you that I'm really concerned about America. Amen. I love this country. I'm so thankful that God allowed me to be born in the United States of America. And I'm glad to be a citizen. And I want to honor those that are in leadership for this country. But it's been awfully hard. And I'm not too thrilled about what's going on in the presidential election. But I'm here to tell you, God's in control. I do want you to know that God is in control, and he's got control over this nation and all the nations of the world, and everything is right on schedule. It's all heading towards that great climactic event of the second coming of Jesus Christ. I've always thought that I would be alive and he would rapture the church out. I really believe it's soon. I really believe that whatever we're going to do for the Lord, we need to do quickly. Because the night's coming when no man can work. What did Isaiah do when he faced this crisis? He went to church. Went to the temple of God. And brethren, I'm going to tell you, whatever situation that you might find yourself in this morning, church is the answer. Amen. God will help you with whatever you're going through this morning. Church is the answer. So that's what we should do. But what do we experience when we come to church? Number one, you ought to behold your God when you come into this house. Now we all know that the Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in your midst. Now I'm convinced this morning that God is here because he said he would be. Uzziah was a great king. He ruled Judah for some 52 years. He organized the army. He fortified Jerusalem. He defeated the Philistines and the Arabians. He had a deep faith in Jehovah God. Had an impressive resume. Impressive. But he was human. You know, just like all of us, he was human. And he made the mistake of leaving the pagan places of worship standing. God told him, destroy it. But he didn't listen. Later on, his pride became his downfall because he went into the temple to offer an incense offering to God. And this was a work that only a priest could perform. God sent judgment. He had leprosy. And eventually it took his life. I'm convinced that we reap what we sow. You sow the wrong seed and you'll reap the wrong harvest. And the harvest will always be consistent with the seed that is sown. And we know that our God is omniscient, and if there's anybody qualified to judge us, it's God. It's not me. It's not you. is God. And I can tell you that God is omniscient. He understands fully the situation in every case. But the one thing that I want to share with you this morning is God is a loving God. And He loves us even in our sins. And He sent His Son to die for us even though He knew we were going to sin. He said, "Judge not, lest you be judged. And with the same judgment you mete out, it'll be meted back out to you. Be kind and loving to one another." The one thing that this church has always been known for is that it is a loving, friendly church. We always want to be known as a loving and friendly church. And the devil likes nothing better. Now, he doesn't want to destroy any church. He just wants to keep it from being effective. Give it a bad testimony. We got to do everything we can to keep loving one another and protect our testimony and be kind and affectionate one towards another. Isaiah was shaken. The king was gone, but he lifted his eyes up beyond the mortal remains of the earthly king, and he looked up heavenward. And he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Sometimes we're guilty of putting other people or other things in the place of God. And to see God, these things must be secondary. What if we came to church on a Sunday morning and God didn't show up? What if we came to church and God says, "I'm too busy today to come"? But we know that'll never happen. Oh, it happens with us, but it never happens with God because God is true to His word. And that word is a plumb line that will measure all of our lives. And one day we'll stand before God and it's this book that will judge us. God help us that we'll be faithful and loving. I'm going to tell you, if you think that being a pastor is always easy, I've been criticized by the best. I have had, I'm not even going to go there. Lord help. But you know, the one thing that I've always been able to do is to love those that persecute me or give me a hard time, and they'd never know that they were bothering me. You know, it's kind of like don't let them see you sweat. I just believe that God will give us grace and strength that if somebody's saying something negative about us or if folks are giving us a hard time, love them. Heap coals of condemnation on their head by saying kind words. Love one another. Love one another. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I've never seen anybody go to the mirror in the morning time and look in that mirror even when they're at their worst and their hair's all over the, well, if they've got any hair, it's all over their head, you know? And they don't, you know, you ladies don't have your makeup on and you think, boy, how ugly you are. You don't do that. You say, man, don't I look good, you know? Well, we don't need to be unfaithful. Need to serve God and love Him. Even when things don't always go well, stay in church. Stay in church. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, everybody here is highly loved, highly sought after, highly recruited. And I don't want to lose anybody. Amen. Not today, tomorrow, or next week. I love all of you. I'm your pastor, and I'm telling you, I'm responsible to God for every one of you. God has placed me in the position of being the shepherd of the flock. And if I can't love everybody, I ought not to be the shepherd of this flock. And if I can't treat everybody equally, I should not be the shepherd of this flock. Sometimes I think, well, I hate to admit it, but I'm getting older. And I know that sometimes folks say, well, we need a younger pastor, you know. But I'm here to tell you that as long as God wants me to serve, I'll serve. Amen. And when the time comes that he wants to move me somewhere else or set me on the sideline, I'm in his hands, and I trust him. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. That is, Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord as he was sitting there on the throne. The earthly throne was empty. King Uzziah had died, but he saw Jesus Christ in his incarnate glory sitting upon a throne. The psalmist says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw the seraphims with their six wings. With two they covered their face, with two their feet, and with two they did fly. And they cried out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. If you don't get anything else from this service this morning, you understand God's holy. God hates sin. God is holy this morning. And I believe that when you come into the house of God and you see the holiness of God, you see him. And he is here. Oh, we may not see him with a naked eye, but we will see him this morning. And when you see him in his holiness, it makes you look within to see your own shortcomings. With two wings, they covered their face because of the purity of the Lord. And this symbolized humility. You know, when we stand before God on the judgment day, it said every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm here to tell you that those knees and those legs that are so strong today will be like butter when you stand before him on the judgment day. Then with two wings, it said they covered their feet. This symbolized defilement in the presence of such holiness. All of us have sinned. You know, sometimes we forget that God saw what a wicked person that we were, but he loved us anyway, and he sent his son to die for us anyway. And in the right time, God sent somebody to tell us about Jesus, and folks prayed for us. And all of a sudden, we started coming to church, and then we found ourselves at an altar of prayer, and we asked God, forgive us of our sins and come into our heart and be our Lord and Savior. And all things were passed away, and all things became new. We were a new creature in Christ Jesus, but God loved us even in our sins. Wow. And with two wings, they did fly, symbolizing obedience and a willingness to do whatsoever our Lord commands. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done around this church. And folks just need to step up and do it, you know? I won't go into that, but I'm telling you, all of us have a responsibility. You know, you can ride the coattails of folks that are doing something, and praise God that some are doing something. But God expects you to be faithful and get in and serve and do the best you can. You don't have to do it all, but you need to do your part. And that comes down to whether it's serving or whether it's giving or whatever it is, do your part. Don't ride the coattails of everybody else. Be faithful, because one day you're going to stand before God and account for whether you've been faithful or not. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'm telling you, it's getting close. I don't mind telling you. When Isaiah saw this majestic scene, he said, mine eyes have seen the King. Would to God that we'll see him this morning. I want to tell you this story. It's one that you probably have heard, but a small lad one day came to his father and said, Dad, have you ever seen God? The father answered, Son, no one has ever seen God. God is invisible to the naked eye. The little boy left the room somewhat disheartened. The pastor of his church came into the home to visit, and while he was there, the lad asked him, Pastor, have you ever seen God? The kindly minister responded, Son, God is a spirit. A spirit is invisible to the naked eye. No one can see God. The little boy was again disappointed. Soon the father found the little lad spending a lot of his spare time with the old sailor down by the waterfront. Every day he'd visit this man late in the afternoon, and the boy, his father, became concerned about him, for he feared the sailor's influence on this young boy. The father said, Son, I wish you wouldn't spend so much time with that old sailor. The boy replied this, Dad, he tells me to obey you and mother, go to church, study hard in school. He teaches me good manners. He tells me about all the wonderful adventures that he's had on the high seas. He's a nice man. He's a good man. But more than anything, Dad, he is a Christian man. Please let me continue to visit with him. The father was surprised, but with a smile, he said this, Son, it's fine for you to visit with him as often as you like if he's teaching you these things. One afternoon at sunset, the little boy and the sailor were sitting on the waterfront. They were talking. After their conversation had ended, there was a long silence, the kind that can come between two friends when there's a lull. The boy looked at the old sailor and he asked him this question. He said, Sir, have you ever seen God? The sailor looked at the boy and then across the water as the sun was nestling itself in its orbit for the end of day. He saw the last fiery sparks being thrown out across the universe by the sun. The sunset was resplendent in glory. A seagull dipped into the sea below, emerging with a fish. The waves were washing up on the shore, and all the ocean seemed to be alive with the presence and the power of the Almighty God. The little boy thought the sailor didn't hear his question, so he repeated it. He said, Sir, have you ever seen God? The old sailor looked at the lad, and tears began to well up within his eyes, and he responded, Son, it's getting to the place that I can hardly see anything else but. Our God is here this morning. When we go to church, we ought to see God. And when you come to church, you ought to confess your sins. Well, how important it is that we realize our own shortcomings and sins. You know, I don't know how you pray, but listen, I pray every day, God, forgive me of my sins. I said, Lord, if I've done anything wrong, and I know that I have, you know, and mainly it's the sins of omission, you know. We don't do a lot of the sin. We're not robbing any banks or doing anything like that, but we don't do what the Lord tells us to do, the sin of omission. So God, help us. Having our sins forgiven is vital. When young Isaiah came to church and entered into the presence of God, he recognized his personal shortcomings, and he said this, "Woe is me, for I am undone." You know, he wasn't looking at his brother or his sister. He said, "Look at me. I am undone." He confessed himself to be a man of unclean lips. And we all know that speech is a true test of what we are. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. James said, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. The test of character is revealed by the words that we speak." You can tell real quick what's in a person's heart by listening to the words that they speak. But I'm here to tell you that confess your sins, ask God for forgiveness, stay in a constant state of being able to contact the Lord, a state of prayer. I'm here to tell you that I want to be thoroughly, thoroughly right with Him when I stand before Him, and I can through His blood. Amen. Then confess the sins of the people around you. While worshiping God, Isaiah experienced dissatisfaction with the people that lived around him. You know, when you get thoroughly right with God, you'll see that the people that you thought were all right may not be all right. And we need to pray for them. We need to work to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you come to church, you should receive God's forgiveness. Seeing God and confessing his sins, Isaiah recognized the forgiveness of the Almighty. And we see the seraphim. The Bible said he took a live coal from the altar and he said this, "Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." The seraphim represents the Holy Spirit. The live coal represents the blood of Christ. The altar represents the cross. So we see the Holy Spirit of God taking the blood of Christ from the altar or the cross and applying it to our own hearts and lives. And that's really what takes place. Every time that we confess our sins, the blood is applied to that life. In the Old Testament, the altar was a place of sacrifice. It symbolized the forgiveness of sins. You and I need to use these altars. We're not perfect. God help us that we'll humble ourselves before Him. And if we have sinned, that we will confess our sins and ask Him for His forgiveness. And then when you come to church, you should volunteer for service. Isaiah beheld God, he confessed his sins, he experienced God's forgiveness and cleansing. The natural result of all of this is that we should turn and serve him. When Isaiah heard the voice of God saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for me?" He said, "Lord, here am I, send me. Send me, Lord. Help me to be your servant. Help me to do your bidding. Help me to tell others about you, how important it is." It reminds me that when we come to the closing part of our worship service, it ought to always be that we come in to be filled and we go out to serve with the energy God has given us. It reminds me of the lady that came to church that one Sunday morning. She was late. And she came when the doors were open, the ushers were opening up the doors, and people started to come out, and she said, "Is service over?" The wise usher said, "No, ma'am, worship is over. The service is just beginning." Kind of reminds me of a story, and I shared this at graduation at Hillsdale the other day, and I thought it was apropos for what I'm saying this morning. Author Robert Fulghum would sometimes, when attending lectures, respond in a most unusual way to the speaker's final routine words, "Are there any questions?" Yes, Fulghum sometimes would say, and then he would ask, "What is the meaning of life?" People generally would laugh and gather their notes and prepare to leave as the speaker smiles and shrugs off the question. But one day, to his surprise, Fordham got a serious answer. It was from Dr. Alexander Papaderos, a Greek philosopher. And at the end of the lecture one day, Dr. Papaderos asked, "Are there any questions?" "Yes," said Fordham. "What is the meaning of life?" The other attendees whispered and chuckled, and they prepared to leave. But Dr. Papaderos held up his hands and said, "I will answer your question." He said, as he drew from his pocket a small round mirror about the size of a silver dollar. As he was growing up during the war time, his family was very poor and he had very few toys. One day he found a broken piece of mirror left over from the wreck of a German motorcycle. He tried in vain to put the pieces together, but finally ended up discarding all but the largest piece. "This one," he said, holding it up higher, "and by scratching it on a stone, I made it round and I began to play with it as a toy. And I became fascinated by the fact that I could reflect light into dark places where the sun would never shine. In deep holes, in crevices, in dark closets, it became a game to me to get light into the most inaccessible places." He said, "I kept the little mirror and I went about my growing up years and I would take it out at idle moments and continue the challenge of the game. As I became a man, I grew to understand that this was not just a child's game, but a metaphor for what I might do in life. With what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world, into the black places in the hearts of men, and see the lives of men, women, boys, and girls change as the light of the glorious gospel comes in." Having said that, Dr. Papaderos took that small mirror, and holding it carefully, he caught the rays of daylight streaming through the window, and he reflected it into Robert Fulgham's face. And it reminds us, as I reminded those students, that you're going out as the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. And you are to let your light shine. And God wants you to put your light in those dark, inaccessible places. And let the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shine into their hearts and lives. God help us that as we leave today, we'll go to serve. Let's pray.